I want to thank Dean for inviting me to teach. You know, my wife and I, we moved to Florida 2 years ago, and we're doing well. We're making progress, and we like it there and all that, and things are growing, which is really great. But I have to tell you that we miss you guys very much, and that's the truth. And we also miss this right here. This is a deep fellowship of mature believers that walk in love. And this doesn't exist, I don't think, in very many places. So now that I'm gone, I come back and, wow, this is great. But you guys that live here, take advantage of it, because this is beautiful. So anyway, now that I got that out of the way, Bob gave me this many years ago. You seen something like this before?
Yeah.
These are yaks. Now, what do wolves eat? Yak babies, right? Ooh, lamb chops and whatever. And so if you're a wolf and you want some lamb chops, you gotta go through that and get in the back to get at it. And that's not all that easy, is it?
No.
A lot of wolves seeing this could want a veggie burger or something. So. And that's how it is to fight for the family, right? We don't let the wolves get in with our people. So a little bit of background of where I came from. I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area with, you know, the same time with George and Jerry. And my family, they were business people. They were in the frozen food business. So growing up, we had some money. I had more toys than many people, I think. Some of the food that we ate at the Rock of Ages many years ago came from my family store, which was pretty wild. So what I wanted to do with my life was help people. And my dad died when he was 40 years old. And my mom couldn't handle it, and she lost control of herself, and she lost control of us for a while. So what I wanted to do with my life was help people, and I didn't know how. And and maybe I was a little afraid because if you don't know what you're doing and you're trying to help somebody, you might screw them up. So I took the Power for Abundant Living class when I was a senior in high school. And I learned that the Bible was true. And I learned I could tell people the truth. And I learned that I could tell them that and not be afraid to help them because I would be telling them the truth. And that changed my life. And when I took PFAL, I decided I wanted to go as far as I could. And there I was, this 17-year-old kid, and I learned how to help people. And now I'm sitting up in front of you and maybe teaching people a little bit how to help people. So what we're going to do today, and I'm very thankful to God in my life. We had an expression growing up, living your life's dream. I've lived my life's dream. It ain't over, but I've lived my life's dream and continuing to live my life's dream. What we're going to do today is we're going to read a couple records in the book of Acts, and then also we'll get some tips on helping people and under-shepherding or follow through. But first we're going to go to one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, please. 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12. S- 2 Corinthians 12, and in verse 14, it says, this is Paul talking, "Behold, the third time I'm ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you. For I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children." Now, this is talking about the heart of a leader, but we could sure apply this to follow through with under shepherding, which is the topic we're going to look at today. So here it is. It says, "I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you." I'm not coming there to take something from you. I'm not coming there to use you. I'm not coming there to hurt you. What I want to do is help you. What I want to do, I'm coming for you. And man, after we witness to people and we follow through, that should be our attitude toward the whole thing. Man, I'm here and I want to help you with God's word and God's love. And for the purpose of this teaching, it's going to be on follow through, and we'll just define that as the initial contact after the person gets witnessed to. What a wonderful verse. And for those of you who are leaders, that's the heart of a leader right there, is that we want to help folks. We're not doing this to get things from people. We're doing that to help them. So we're going to see a couple records in God's word of follow through. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 9. You know, there was a guy who witnessed to a guy, and then God told somebody else to follow through. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 9, please. How are you guys? Okay? Yeah. Say hi to the person on your right, please. That never works. I tried it in Florida, too, by the way. It didn't work then. Acts 9, please. Acts 9. And we know this record. This is the record of the Lord Jesus Christ talking to Saul there. And we're going to pick up the record in Acts chapter 9 and in verse 10. So Saul gets witnessed to by the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 10, "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire of the house of Judas for one Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prays." Go follow up on this guy. Go over there. This is following up by revelation. Following up by revelation. And Ananias was super blessed by this whole conversation. Verse 13, "And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard many things about this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on his name." Are you sure you want me to go over there? Because I don't know. He had a complaint, but he went right to the source, and that was good. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." This was following up by revelation. He had revelation from God to go talk to this fella. And verse 17, "And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, and the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me, and thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost." Revelation to go over there, and then look what happened. "And immediately there fell from his eyes as it been scales, and he received sight, and forthwith he arose and was baptized." He had revelation to go there, and look at the prophet. Saul got his sight back. Now that's cool. Maybe we'll get revelation sometime and God will tell us, go over there and talk to this person. And maybe there'll be a miracle. This was a miracle. Or maybe it won't. I don't know. But Ananias got meek. He didn't want to do it, but he got meek and then he did it. And then there was a miracle. It happened immediately and Saul got his sight back. Now, here's something very interesting in verse 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at where? Hey, what happened? God told him to go follow up on this guy, and then he had a miracle in his life, and then this big-time ringleader of the persecution, you know what happened to him? He was hanging out with the disciples. Isn't that cool? And when we under-shepherd or follow through with under-shepherding, what happens if they believe? They're going to be hanging out with the people. They're going to be going to summer camp. They're going to be doing different things. Look at the outcome here. Not only is there a miracle, but now he's hanging out with the strong believers, the disciples. And I bet you that must have been an interesting fellowship. Is this guy for real? Is he a spy? What's really going on? But look what happened. He got involved with the believers, which is really, really great. Let's take a look at another favorite verse of mine. How about Acts chapter 10, verse 1? This is another record in God's word. Acts chapter 10, and in verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what band?
Italian.
Thank you very much. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. So this man wanted some spiritual answers, and most of us know this record very well, and God set him up there to go and meet Peter, or Peter to go see him, which is really good. Peter got a referral from God, if you could, which is good. Do you follow up referrals? You do, right? Okay, so let's take a look at this record here, which is really a cool record. How about 19? Acts chapter 10 and in verse 19. So it says, while Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Verse 20, arise therefore and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. So God tells Peter to go with them. And so Peter goes down and he's going to see Cornelius. And Peter's going down there by revelation. Another verse I really like in the Bible is verse 24. And on the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, Peter and his gang there, and Cornelius waited for them, he had called together his kinsmen and near friends. Just picture yourself, you know you're supposed to go and hold forth the word to this guy at a neighboring city. And when you go there, in that place, this guy has gotten a whole bunch of new people, and they're all at his house, and they're waiting for you to tell them what God wants you to say. It's cool to follow up on one person, but this one person gathers all these people, and then they're all there. So that's good. Now, we know this record, so we're going to go to verse 44. Verse 44 says, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them that heard the word. And they of the circumcision believed, which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles was poured out the gift of what? Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. This was a historical moment in the history of the Christian church. Why? Because for the first time, Gentiles got born again, right? Gentiles were called dogs. You remember that? So the dogs became my brother. And that takes some renewed mind, maybe. And so not only that, but now, you know, in Jerusalem, they were kind of bound by legalism, right? We see this develop. And Jerusalem begins to go downhill, and you see this in the book of Acts. But something else really cool happens. Jerusalem goes down, it's wrapped up in legalism, but something else happens. Antioch and the outreach of God's word to the Gentiles really takes off under the ministry of the Apostle Paul. You know, sometimes in life we see areas or groups of people, maybe something goes down. Something, you know, legalism, other garbage creeps in, but that doesn't mean that something else pops up. The same was true in the book of Acts, and you know, the same is true today. So, you know, this was a historical occasion. These Gentiles got born again, and after this spot here, we see the outreach of God's word to the Gentiles. So they were people of a different culture, different background, different so many things, and they got born again. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? Verse 48, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Verse 48b, then prayed they him to tarry what? Certain days. There was some follow-up. There was some follow-through. This was a cultural change. This was different. Two very different groups. These guys get born again, and guess what? Paul hangs around there. There's some follow-through. There's some under-shepherding, and there's a lot of stuff to deal with. God's word is bringing them together, but it's folks coming from a very different background. What transpired there was very beautiful. We go through this today. There's folks of different colors, different races, different languages, different whatever, and God's word unites us. But there's a lot of changes, a lot of stuff as we learn then to magnify God and his word above fleshly things, right? And that's part of under shepherding. So let's take a look at a couple tips then, or a few tips in how to follow through with under shepherding. So if you witness to a person, is this a person that you know from before? Is this a person that you have contact information? Or is this a brand new person that you've never met? And these situations can be different. Maybe we witness to a coworker or a neighbor or a family member or somebody else, or maybe we meet somebody that we've never met on the bus. And these situations are a little different. You know, way back when I went to college, it was just a few years ago, but I went to Berkeley in California, and I had an apartment there with a guy named Roger Thompson. And so we were there, and God's word was, you know, beginning to move in that area. And so we were all excited. We were going to have a fellowship in our apartment, and we met our neighbor. And it's pretty easy to get a hold of your neighbor, right? I mean, there was, you know, you don't have to phone him. You just go knock on his door. So we knocked on his door, and we got to know him. And believe it or not, this man's name was Twig. His name was Twig. So I said, kind of in a sarcastic voice, you are destined to come to my house and hear God's word. And you know what? He came to the fellowship, took PFAL, and I don't know what happened to him, but with his name, he was bound to come to our house. And you know, I really didn't need to get his phone number. I could just go knock on his door, and he was a neighbor. So sometimes if we know people, we have contacts, we see him at work, you know, maybe it's really easy to get a hold of him. But then, you know, what happens if it's somebody that we've never met before? Maybe we meet him on a bus or whatever. You know, it's good to get a person's phone number so you can call them up, so you can follow through, right? So how do you get a person's phone number? Anybody want to hazard a guess? Ask. Ask for the number, you know? And maybe you can give them your number and then say, hey, can I have your number too? Or maybe you could say, I was talking to this guy, and I said, hey, I'll text you some of these scriptures that I just quoted you. Can I have your phone number? He goes, sure. So there's different ways to get it. But, you know, usually don't trust the other person to get a hold of you again. Usually that doesn't work. What works is, hey, I got your number. I'm going to call you tomorrow and begin to follow through with the person. You know, my wife and I have had a lot of fun speaking the word to people, and we've been flying all around different places, and sometimes we get Ubers to the airport or on the way back, and so they are in somebody's car, and you're going to pay them, so they ought to listen to you, you know? So we've had some fun witnessing to Uber drivers. So my wife and I, we got an Uber back from the airport, and this woman took us home. And we were talking to her, and she opened up to us, and she told us about her life and whatever. We had a great witness. And then we invited her in the house after the Uber ride, and she came in and stayed for about a half an hour. And man, we had the greatest time with her. She gave us her phone number, and we said, hey, you know where the fellowship is? You just took us here. So that was really good. And then I would talk to her on the phone about some personal problems, situations she had in her life, and now she's involved with our fellowship. She brought her mom. She brought her kid. She comes, you know, whenever she's around, and it's just a beautiful thing. So another time we came home from the airport, and it was 1:30 at night, and this lady, her name was Ebony. She was just a wonderful, vivacious person, and Leet and I were talking the word to her, and she says, I'm going to come to this fellowship. It's going to, I promise you, I'm going to come. It's going to be so great. And she was so excited, and I was so tired at 1:30 in the morning. You know what I didn't do? I didn't get her number. And you know what she didn't do? Come to fellowship. But I could tell you about it. So then another time, this was more recent, this guy Leet and I were talking to, and he was excited about it. And I quoted some scripture to him, whatever, and I said, Kate, can I have your number and I'll text you these scriptures? And he goes, yes. So I texted him the scriptures the next day and invited him to come or get together, and he never called me back, and I didn't harass him anymore. But, you know, I followed up on him, right? So it's really good to get the person's number, which is really good. So that's good. You know, it's fun to speak God's word, you know? Now, another thing, just because you witness to somebody, they might not want to go to fellowship right away, right? Maybe you need to hang around with them a little bit. Maybe they need to maybe have lunch with them, or maybe invite them over to your house, or maybe do something, meet them somewhere, and just get to know them a little better. Maybe you could invite them to your house and watch a Mets game. That could be cool, right? Oh, by the way, I saw somebody yesterday with a New York Jets shirt on. Can you believe that? So I've noticed, and I've learned from other teachers up here, a lot of these people take polls, like give questions. So I would just like to ask you guys, how many New York Jet fans are in the audience today? Please raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Just get it up there. Okay, please stand up. Please stand up. Okay, now, you know, many people have worked here. Be proud. Okay, many people have worked here to make this a very loving environment, right? I'd just like to say to every person in here, these people need a tremendous amount of love. Because for years, they have suffered. They have been hurt. They have unfulfilled dreams. So, please give him a lot of love. And don't be mad at me. Hey, you know, if you witness to somebody and they want to go to fellowship and they don't show up, that could be discouraging, right? Could be, you know? But we're a success when we speak the word, right? And if they don't go, they don't go. Oh, my God. The one person I witnessed to all last year doesn't want to go to fellowship. I'm so discouraged. You know how to get around that? Maybe witness to a few more. And then if one doesn't show, you got 9 or 10 in the line there in the queue, so you could go to the next one. But if it's only one, then that's kind of discouraging. Some other tips in under-shepherding. Walk with God. We've seen this the whole record. God wants to help us. You know, we're trying to do his will, and so he's going to help us. And we read a bunch of records along those lines. Another one is be a heart surgeon. Be a heart surgeon. You know, you're there with this person, you know, and ask them some questions. See if they'll talk to you. And then we can give them a word fitly spoken. God can also tell us what to say, by the way, and we've covered that. But be a heart surgeon. And this is something my wife is really good at. Remember details about the person. Say yesterday you were talking to them and they said, well, I really need this and this and this. Remember that. And then the next day when you're talking to them or doing whatever on the phone or having some coffee with them, you could bring that up and that'll bless them because they realize that you care about them, which is really good. And it's a spiritual battle, right? And we got to walk. Look at 1 Corinthians 9, please. 1 Corinthians 9. You meet a lot of interesting people speaking the word, don't you? And not everybody's like us. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all that I might, what?
Gain them.
You know, that's how we roll. You know, people have that expression. We can learn to roll with different kinds of people. And man, if we could develop that ability in our life, because not everybody's like us. Not everybody's like me, and maybe you're not like me, and you're thankful for that. But you know... Don't laugh, Chrissy. It's not that bad. So it's okay. But man, if we can learn to communicate to folks that are different than us, man, that's really great. And then down the road, we have a fellowship with all kinds of interesting people from all over the place who look different, who bring something different to the table. When I went to Berkeley many years ago, there was a guy, and he said he was from the moon, and he used to sell land on the moon for a couple. He'd give you a deed. Then there was Holy Hubert Lindsay. Do you remember Holy Hubert? This guy, he was a preacher, and he had no teeth here, and he had. Slick back hair, and he had patent leather belt and the whole thing. I got to do this. And these were all like people with very long hair, intellectual people, whatever, wild people. And this guy, he was just preaching hellfire and brimstone to all these people in, you know, the campus there. But he was pretty good at what he did. And he'd insult people to get people to listen. And he'd go, the moral fiber of this country is degenerating. Because he'd piss people off when you say that. And there'd always be somebody, how do you know? How do you know? How do you know? I'm looking at you, son. See, you got to get their attention before you can... Hey, you know, you got to roll with people. You got to get to know folks. And that's one of the exciting things about following through with under shepherding is you get to know them. And that's cool because we could roll with different kind of people. You know, in a way, it's kind of like dating, don't you think? Did I get your attention with that one? You know, when you date somebody, you kind of get to know them, don't you? And you know what makes them tick, and you know learn about them. You know, I dated a girl I didn't like. Not recently. And I just have to clarify one thing that some of you guys might be thinking. It's not my wife either, by the way. I dated a girl I didn't like because I wanted to learn to like her, and she was different than me. I wanted to learn to see her good points, which at times I didn't see. And we became very good friends, and it was really great. So why am I saying that? How about when you witness to somebody? Maybe their good points aren't all right there in front of your face, but you could learn to see the good points and see how to help them if we want to. So, you okay, honey, back there? How about 2 Timothy chapter 4, please? 2 Timothy 4. Second Timothy 4 and in verse 2. Second Timothy 4, 2, it says, "Preach the word, be instant in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine." So we're to preach the word in season or out of season. We're to preach the word when it's convenient and what? Not convenient. And let me tell you, sometimes if you're following through with somebody or under shepherding, it might not be convenient. True? But we make time for the things that are important to us. And so we can make time. This is a person's life here, and we can help them, but we have to make time and see, you know, how important this is. And this is really a really big thing. One thing to do, maybe sometimes we all live busy lives, is maybe invite this person to hang around with you a little bit and maybe do what we're doing. If we're going to the movies, invite them. Or if you're going eating out, maybe invite this person, whatever, if you want. But there's ways to make time. But we need to get back to people for this follow-through to lead to under-shepherding. One of my favorite Dr. Werwell lines is, "A man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package." A man wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. That's a good one, right? And let me tell you, outreach is better than inreach. Outreach is better than inreach. And there's been times in my life I've practiced a lot of inreach. Maybe you have too, like Psalm 77. So you know what? We looked at some great keys in God's word today. We looked at Acts chapter 9, Acts chapter 10, and we looked at some tips on how to under-shepherd people. And we just need to make time so that we can help people along the way. So to close, let's take a look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. What a wonderful time it's been here. A lot of Bible, a lot of love, a lot of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's fun to speak God's word. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and in verse 1, it says, "For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were what?
Bold.
Shamefully entreated. That's Acts 16, if you want to look at it. Shamefully entreated at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. Bold, that just means free speech. He didn't scream at them, but he had freedom of speech. Verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit. It didn't cause people to wander or to err. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, like trying to trick people. We didn't try to cause you to err. We didn't try to trick you in any way. Verse 4, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. If somebody gave each one of us $1 million and said, hey, look, you take this thing and you do something profitable with it. And so maybe some of us would put it in the bank, get a mutual fund, do something else, and then we would get some profit with this money that somebody gave us, and we'd use it in a really good way. It says here, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we were entrusted with the gospel. We were entrusted with so much knowledge of God's word. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. If we had $1 million, we might invest it and come up with some profit in a year or whatever. God has entrusted us with something far greater than $1 million. He's entrusted us with the accuracy of his word. And in this trust, according to the scripture, we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. And the action here, the profitable action that we take, is we're to speak it. Not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. We've learned so much here this week, and when we go back tomorrow, we can speak God's word, and we can love people because we've been put in trust with the gospel. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for the privilege I've had to do this and for giving all of us a knowledge of your word. Thank you for this and for what a great camp we've had here so far. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Okay, thank you.